Hi, I'm Lori Wildenberg, and I am so excited to welcome you back to our Moms Better Together podcast. And this is season two of Raising Up Joseph, Raising Up a Joseph. And my co-host, Heather Riegelman, and I, we've been taking a peek at Joseph's character traits, and we've been discussing how we can encourage those good and godly qualities in our own kids.
Okay, so before we get into the podcast, I just need to clarify something from our last episode that we were talking about, because we had talked about how my son is going to be getting a dog, and I had mentioned how I don't like dogs. I do like dogs. I don't want to get I don't want to get emails from like fans saying, oh, why don't you like dogs? So I just need to clarify that I'm more of a cat person than I am of a dog person. And so we have two cats. We have Yoshi and Mickey. And I call them my mini tigers, and they are hysterical. Like, I mean, they follow me around my house. They have some really unique personalities, but I just needed to clarify.
That's funny. Well, we balance out then, because I'm a dog person. So
yes.
There you go.
Yeah. So anyways, be sure to check out a previous episode. So in episode 4, we talked about faithfulness and loyalty. And today we're getting ready to dive into episode 5. The big topics of goodness and holiness using Joseph in Genesis chapters 37 through 50. And so here's a quick background in case you're unfamiliar with the story. His brother sold him as a slave, and then he spent well over a decade in slavery and even did a brief stint in prison for something he didn't do. And then as his story unfolds, we see God actually had a plan, and God remained with Joseph through all of those years. And eventually Joseph actually became second in command in Egypt. And I think the biggest takeaway from this story is that whatever you do in your life, do it for the Lord.
Yeah. You know, Joseph rose to the occasion, even though he was in some pretty low places. And he did whatever he did with excellence. And whether he was in the position of being a slave, he did his work well, and he honored his master. And also, even when he was in prison, he rose to the occasion there and was a trusted inmate. So, yeah, whatever we do for the Lord, whether we're in the pit, the prison, or the palace, do it mm-hmm. for God. You know, gosh, Heather, one of the craziest parts of Joseph's story, and listeners, if you have not read this out of Genesis 39, I am telling you, you have got to read this story. So this story just has so many parts to it and so many layers. I love it. And it's so human. It's just really shows us who Joseph is as a person, and why he's one of the people that we picked as someone to look at when we're talking about character traits. So mm-hmm. Potiphar, who was an Egyptian captain of the guard, so kind of an important guy, he purchased Joseph as a slave. And because Potiphar noticed that the Lord was with Joseph in everything he did, everything Joseph did seemed to turn out pretty darn good. Of course, other than the fact that he was a slave, but he, you know, was everything he did in his position, things came out really well because God was with him. So because of this, Potiphar went ahead and put Joseph in charge of his whole household. He trusted Joseph with all the concerns of running his household. And here's what scripture says. This cracks me up. The only thing Potiphar worried about was what food that he was going to eat. What food he ate. That was his biggest worry of the day. And scripture also points out, which I think this is really something too, but it's also maybe an important part of the story. It says this, okay, Joseph was well built. Joseph was well built and handsome. Okay. So Potiphar's wife, she noticed this well-built, handsome guy, and she was attracted to Joseph, and she actually ended up propositioning him. Joseph refused her by saying, "My master has withheld nothing from me except you. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?"
So, you know, if they actually did like a movie of Joseph, I honestly think that they would probably cast like The Rock, because like when I'm reading this, That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking he must have been like very good looking and very well built.
Oh, so, yeah. Now I have a whole different picture in my head when I'm going to read Genesis 39.
The rock. So, well, I mean, two things stand out here. The fact that, you know, he really, truly respected his master. And then as well as like his, he also had like this loyalty and gratitude to Potiphar and the realization that, you know, the sin that she was propositioning him to was ultimately against God.
Yeah. You know, the wife, the other character in this story, besides, you know, Joseph, really, she was like relentless in her pursuit of him. And you can, again, read about this in Genesis 39. And at one point, Joseph literally fled from her advances, that she felt rebuffed and angry. And she ended up setting him up and concocting a whole story about this particular incident. And she told her husband that Joseph was attempting to sleep with her, but she stopped him by screaming, and then Joseph fled. So she made up this whole big story around this particular scene. All the drama, you know, it's unfolding.
Oh, poor Joseph. I mean, that's just horrible. I mean, he was doing everything possible to be, you know, as loyal as possible to his master. But this is actually how he found himself in prison. So, but nevertheless, Joseph, you know, he did the right thing and his conscience was clear before God.
You know, and we talked about this a little bit. We touched on this a little bit in our last episode, how you can do the right thing, but often the right thing right in the moment either isn't well received or it's inconvenient, or it could actually not turn out so well in the temporary sense, right? And so Joseph did the right thing, but it totally backfired because of Potiphar's wife and how she represented that. And then Potiphar, you know, to save face, he threw Joseph in prison. You know, maybe you've heard this, Heather, that there are some commentaries that say that if Potiphar really thought that Joseph had done this, he would have killed him.
I agree.
So maybe he kind of was wondering, you know, is there somehow my wife involved in this particular scenario? But again, we don't want to add to scripture, but the question's out there. But that sexual temptation is a temptation I'm going to say most people face, probably almost everybody, and maybe everyone. And it's a temptation that most certainly our kids are going to face, and they need to know how to handle it. And scripture shows us, especially with Joseph's example, that when you are faced with sexual temptation, what your response needs to be is to flee rather than to fight it. Joseph didn't fight against it. He ran. And that is what we are to do. We got to get out of Dodge. We have to get ourselves out of that situation quickly. Other sins in scripture, you know, sometimes we are called to, like, you know, fight against those and wrestle against, but sexual sin, that's a whole different beast. And we're called to run from it, just like Joseph.
Well, I think it's a really tough one to handle in today's day and age, because we don't view sex the way, you know, the Bible does. We don't view sex the way God does. I mean, he made it as a gift, and it's like this beautiful, amazing, you know, great thing. And I actually tell my kids this all the time, that sex is awesome within the confines of the way God created it.
Yeah. And we just don't have that high view of sex like the Bible gives us. And so this is something that we really need to have a lot of conversation with our kids about. And gosh, you know, they are bombarded with so many images and ad campaigns that kind of titillate and stir that natural human desire. That natural human desire, that's a good thing. But just like anger is a natural thing, right? We don't want to sin in our anger. Anger anger is good because it tells us something is wrong, but it's not a good solution. And it is good to have that desire in the proper context. That's a very good thing. That cements people and relationships together. That's a beautiful thing, but it's not great out of the right context. And, you know, today we're going to talk a little bit more. While we talk about sexual sin, we are going to zero in on porn because that is, oh my gosh, epidemic. And it has been called the new drug. Mm-hmm. And now with people spending more time at home and the kids being more on the computer and having access to various apps and their phone and so forth, the sin of porn is astronomical and it is easily accessed.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
It is like a drug. Like, I mean, the first time that you're watching those images, it rewires the brain and you're waiting for that next fix. Like, I mean, your brain's like, oh my gosh, like that was a rush. I want the next fix. And so you and I were talking about this and they say that the, you know, according to Pornhub, which is, I mean, and that's like the number one website that I make sure it's blocked through our router. But according to Pornhub, the average exposure of children being exposed to porn is 11, and porn viewing is up just this year alone by 24%. We have a different experience in our family. Our family has been exposed to porn as young as the age of 8. I mean, it's so accidental. I mean, because it's so easily accessible.
Oh, that's so scary. And mm-hmm. with, you know, usually kids that are prepubescent that are exposed to porn, it's typically an accident. Mm-hmm. But then, of course, once one kid runs across it by accident, they can't wait to tell their peers, right?
Yep.
You know, this is something that, you know, they share underground. But yeah, I mean, I've even heard of exposure at the age of 7. And it's just terrible because, like you said, Heather, it rewires the brain and it causes that, it stirs that natural desire.
It's like an awakening.
Yes.
Sorry. Yeah.
It's true. And it feels good. It's a natural stimulant in a way. You know, we respond to that in a physical way. And it's so good that you didn't freak out, you know, when you discovered that, you know, your son had run across this at the age of 8. I mean, that is kind of, you know, you might want to freak out, but mm-hmm. It's good you didn't, because now your son knows that he can come to you and talk to you about this stuff and it's going to be okay. He can, you know, be honest with you. So, you know, if your kiddos are caught or bravely confess or you somehow notice it, they are already feeling shame,
mm-hmm.
you know, and even if they weren't seeking it out, if they feel shameful for seeing these images or, you know, however they've come across the porn. And shame isn't something that will bring our kids down that path of either healing or even repentance. And so What we need to do is remove that shame. And one way we can do that is communicate that the child and his viewing and his behavior, or her, because it's not just for boys, this girls, it's at least 25% girls are regularly viewing porn. It could be higher now, but that was the last statistic I saw. But your child and his behavior and his temptation isn't the enemy. No, the enemy is the porn. And I think for our kids, it's really important to define what porn is. It's porn, something that's sexually explicit, explicit material. It could come in the form of videos or pictures or writing. It could be in books or blogs that they're reading. And it's designed to elicit, and it works to elicit sexual arousal. It's designed for that, and it is successful in doing that. That's what porn is. It has a goal. And because it meets its goal of that arousal, that rewiring of the brain, it's very addictive. And so it's really important for moms and dads to have these conversations and come up with a plan on how to avoid it and reject it. And just think of Joseph, you know, running for the hills. He took off. Yeah. And he didn't engage in something that for the moment would have been pleasurable, right? He did not engage in that. And for our kids to understand that we get it, you know, that because we are human too, I think is really important.
No, I completely agree with you. You definitely need to be in your child's team, and you need to keep in mind, like, I mean, in your own sex life, obviously you have a sex life. That's why you have kids. But you need to remember that, you know, sex was, it's an amazing gift. I mean, it bonds you closer to your spouse. It feels good. It's this beautiful gift that God has given us. And we need to reassure our children that, yep, what you're feeling is normal. It's natural, but what's not normal is the porn. And so I think it's really important to reassure them of that, and also reassure them that you value your relationship with them and you want to keep building that trust with them.
Yeah, that's really good, because they need to know that even if they've been exposed to it either by accident or even on purpose, that you still care about them, that they're still your child, you still love them. And then the next step that needs to be taken is to build up that trust, specifically when they've violated the trust by actually seeking it out. And so that's something that is important for us to do. So once the trust has been violated, baby steps need to be taken in order to build the trust back up again. And in the meantime, safeguards should be put into place, because mm-hmm. we need to remember that this is addictive. And there's a curiosity and that addictive component. And then the reward in looking, the temporary reward in looking at that, that we really have to put up some safeguards. And one app that I'm familiar with that's a good safeguard is called BARK, B-A-R-K. And I know that that's been very helpful to many families. So that's a good safeguard. And then also, when our kids do come to us and give full disclosure about something that they've done, and we talked about this again in the last episode, that really builds trust. And that's a huge thing to have. So we want trust and accountability built into whatever plan that we come up with. And Heather, have you guys come up with a plan? You said that you have certain sites blocked. Mm-hmm. What did you guys do?
We've decided to go ahead and take quite a few like preventative measures. And so we use things like OpenDNS. It's a free service. And so if you know how to like access your router, you can actually prevent anything from coming into your phone or into your home through the router. So that's one of the things that we do. And one of the other things that we have is that all of my kids have iPhones. And the reason why I prefer those is because my kids can't access any apps without my permission. And so I get to thoroughly vet the apps before they get to play on them. And even then, depending on the app, they only have like a certain amount of time that they get to interact with it. The other thing too, is that, you know, we consistently monitor through like the family plan that we have through our phone company. I'm able to monitor their text messages, and it's able to, and I have like certain keywords or phrases that are monitored to ensure that, you know, porn isn't coming through a text message. And so those are some very important safety guards that we have done. And then when it comes to viewing porn or stumbling across it or being tempted by it, we really value honesty. That's our big thing. So like if I discover that my kids are being dishonest, that's more of a detriment than the actual thing that we're having to deal with, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it totally makes sense, because that's a character quality that you would prefer not to have, dishonesty. We always know what we don't like. We got to know what we do like, and we like honesty. So to build that honesty in our kiddos. Goodness is one of the fruit of the Spirit. And we really think that ties into holiness as well. So Heather, what have you learned over the years as a Christ follower and a parent?
Like over the years as a Christ follower and a parent, it's that, you know, goodness isn't just a moral behavior. It's character. But goodness is only attainable through God's saving work. My kids know my story. My kids know that I wasn't a Christian. My kids know that I have an arrest record, for example. But they also know that they can see what it is that God has done in my life and how much I value what Jesus did for me.
Yeah, that's so good to be able to be, you know, honest with your kids. And again, you know, appropriately share at various times, because you probably didn't disclose all of these things when they were really little, but as they've gotten older and
age appropriate.
And it makes sense. Then you go ahead and you talk to them about some of the things that you've experienced. And, you know, I think it's important as they get older to see you as a person, a whole person, not just someone who they think has always done it right and couldn't ever relate to them. So, you know, we all have that that sin propensity. And all of our kids are going to have that. Plus, they're all going to have their own set of struggles. So what they need to know from us is that, you know what? It is not sinful to be tempted. Temptation is human. And Jesus was tempted. Okay. He wasn't sinful. He didn't engage in the temptation, but he was tempted. And it's that human component. And gosh, you know, the thing that is sinful is to actually engage in or succumb to the sin.
Ooh, that is so good. I love that you said that. I love that you shared that analogy that Jesus was tempted too, because I mean, that's true. I mean, it's natural to be human and to be tempted. And so this means that when my kids mess up, my job is to show them, you know, God's unconditional love. We all sin. We all mess up. But goodness is cultivated in the middle of our messes. We have to be willing to choose the next right thing in that moment in terms of the relationship that we're trying to cultivate with our kids and the goodness that we're trying to cultivate in our kids. And goodness begins with a loving relationship with God. Laura, you have a book that addresses a lot of these things that we discussed today. What is that?
My book, Messy Journey, How Grace and Truth Offer the Prodigal a Way Home. Mm. This book is one that my oldest kiddo, Courtney, her voice is sprinkled throughout. And she had, and perhaps is still, has stepped off the expected path. This book has really encouraged and helped a lot of parents whose children, you know, young adult children, have stepped off a path that you thought that they would be on. And it's really something for us to remember that the temptation isn't the sin. So yeah, Courtney has struggled with many things, and because of her struggles, you know, it's been a messy journey, and things that I wouldn't have expected that our family would have dealt with, we are. And anyway, I would recommend people who have someone who has stepped off the expected path, who is a parent of a prodigal, or who has a loved one, maybe even a sibling who is a prodigal, that I know Messy Journey could really be a book that would be a blessing. So it was a hard one to write, Heather. And
but it is so good. I love the messages that are in it. I mean, it is, I think it needs to be a resource for every parent, not just because you were saying like when they're, if they have a child, I think they need to be prepared for those moments.
Courtney and I writing it together, if there was a lot of healing that took place during that process as well. So this book is definitely a book of my heart, but it was hard won for sure.
It was, but it is, I mean, it is a good resource for every parent to have.
Well, why don't you go ahead and share a verse, my friend?
Okay. Well, today's verse for this episode is Proverbs 23:19. Listen, my son, and be wise and set your heart on the right path.
I'll go ahead and close us in prayer if that's all right.
Yes.
Father, thank you for this time to talk about Joseph and the example that he has set before us regarding what to do about sexual sin and that we are to flee. And Lord, I pray that I'm thinking when, but I'll say if our kids end up engaging in sexual sin, I pray that we will be wise. I pray that we will love our kids during this time. I pray that rather than having them feel shame over the situation, rather than doing that, helping them to have tools so that they are able to know what porn is and know how to run from it, because we have helped them by creating a plan. And Father, we thank you for this time. And I pray that you bless all of the folks who are listening. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you for joining us today.
We hope this episode encouraged you and has equipped you with some easily applicable parenting tools. So yes, moms, give us a like.
And if you want to know more about Lori Wilderberg and me, Heather Riegelman, be sure to check out our website, wearemomstogether.com.
Moms Better Together is a production of Life Audio and the Salem Web Network. If you enjoyed Heather and Lori's conversation today, will you take a minute to leave them a rating and review in your favorite podcast app so more people like you can find the show? This podcast was produced by me, Kelly Givens, and Steven Sanders, with executive oversight by Stephen McGarvey. To find more faith-filled, encouraging podcasts like this one, just head over to lifeaudio.com.
Hello, this is Dr. Doug Grotheis, host of Truth Tribe, where we seek the truth through reason and evidence about what matters most. And we are not tribal, since truth is for everyone. Please join me at the Truth Tribe as I discuss the reasons for Christian faith, the Christian worldview, and moral issues such as abortion and gender ideology. To listen now, go to lifeaudio.com or search Truth Tribe on your favorite podcast app.